Hey there, welcome to What's the Truth? My name is Jessica Hoddle and I'm your host. Today we are addressing line number 57, striving equals success. And I'm joined by my dear friend, Michelle Myers, who is the founder and creator of She Works His Way. You are listening to the What's the Truth podcast with me, Jessica Hoddle. I'm a wife, author, speaker, and coach. I refuse to let you keep believing the lies that are coming at you from every direction. Each week, I'll speak truth, bring encouragement, and inspire you as I uncover the lies you may believe to be true about your life. Each episode is meant to challenge the way you think, to change the way you live. Michelle is a dear friend of mine, and we've known each other for almost 10 years now. As soon as I started my Beachbody business, that is when we really started to build our friendship, and it's evolved so much over the years. And I couldn't wait to really welcome Michelle back, especially here at the beginning of the new year, where we're still probably feeling weary. Like, what are we supposed to be doing? What has God called me to? What is my purpose? How do I show up and live in this moment right now? Something that Michelle said, and I loved, and she said, work doesn't always require a paycheck. I tend to bend towards work. I know what it's like to work. I know what it's like to show up. And it's not always easy for me to surrender my efforts. She talks about surrendered effort. She talks about obedience. We actually talk about the approval addiction, how to live approved versus living for approval. Michelle is a mom, a wife. She's the founder and creator of She Works His Way. She's a story brand guide. She's a copywriter. She does so many amazing things for the kingdom. And it's easy to look at her and go, wow, Michelle, you got it all together. And I love how she starts off with her story to remind you that who she once was is not who she is now, and how you too can get off this cycle of striving for success. Let's go ahead and get to the show. Michelle, I'm so glad to have you back. It's so fun because we're friends in real life. And when we get on here, it's just like a normal conversation, like casual, because you're always speaking into my life. And today we're talking about this lie that you have to strive for success. So why don't you just tell us first, what is it that you do, your heart, and why this topic is actually a passion topic for you, especially when it comes to She Works His Way?
Yes. Well, thank you so much for having me and having me back. I feel like when you get invited back to a podcast, that's like
extra special.
That's right. My name is Michelle Myers, and I am the founder of She Works His Way, which is an organization that exists to encourage and equip working women to work for the glory of God first and for the good of other people second. And so obviously when you hit me with the lie of striving for success, I got really excited because this is a major lie that working women believe, mm-hmm. that they have to almost earn their right to exist, mm-hmm. in their current position. But more than the work side, I am a wife. James and I have been married for, I'm terrible at math, I'm pretty sure it's 13 years.
He probably has a spreadsheet for that.
Yeah, I'm sure there is somewhere. I usually look at him when somebody asks how long we've been married. Once you get past the decade point, I feel like it all just goes from there. But we have three beautiful kids. My son Noah is 9. My middle will be 7 in 2 weeks. And then my youngest, Shay, is 4.
I think people want to know, well, Michelle, has this always been easy for you? You know, because we look at you and go, oh my gosh, it's Michelle Myers. Like, well, if you don't know her, I mean, you'll know her soon. Just go to She Works His Way and, you know, you'll see her face. But I think we can look at where you are and somebody that's new in the business and go, wow, that must be so easy for you to not strive for success. Can you kind of give us the history of, did you have these moments where you felt like you had to strive, show up, hustle? And what is like, how did that transform into what it is now?
I think that I came out striving. I remember striving as a kid. And until I surrendered, until I traded striving for surrender, I was constantly switching my striving. It was striving for one thing or another. I felt like when I was a kid, I was striving for approval in different forms. I was striving for grades as a student. I was striving for boys' attention as a, you know, teenager. And then I was striving for appearances for a season of my life. I had a 4-year eating disorder and then got past the eating disorder, thought that I learned a powerful lesson, really gave my life over to the Lord at that point from a real perspective, not just from a speak perspective. But then I switched my striving into work and I borderline treaded on being a workaholic for several years. And things kind of came to a head when I became a mom. And I realized this is not going to take me in a good direction. This is what I learned throughout that process is because I was continuously switching my striving, what I was always aiming to do was to do something less, to care less about grades, to spend less time working, to spend less time obsessing over exercise and what I was eating and putting in my body. And that's not bad, but it's never going to work long term. And so what I had to do was instead of trying to do something less, I had to aim to love and trust God more. Because when I aim to love and trust God more, that was what actually made lesser things less. And so otherwise, it was just going to constantly be addressing secondary symptoms and trying to get rid of those when there was a primary problem. And sometimes it's not necessarily a God, I don't want you. God, I don't want you to be in control. But it's almost like this prideful, like, God, you're so busy. Don't worry about this part. I got this. Mm-hmm. I can do this. And so that was consistent for me. But when I was really realizing that the workaholic phase was where I was going, okay, I feel like I have been addressing the same problem for my 25 years of life. What is something new and what is something different that I can do this time? And so instead of just saying, I want to work less, I was like, God, I want more of you. I want more of you. I want to reflect more of you. I want to know more of you. And I trust that becoming more like you and more in love with you is going to handle everything else that is going on. And that was when I finally started feeling some peace and I got rid of the closed fists and the white knuckles and started having some open hands.
Yeah. I think you and I tend to bend towards work. Like you and I, like, don't tell us to work. Cause we're going to show up anyways. And then there's the other ones that bend to like, oh gosh, I have to really show up. But I think there's a lot of people in the middle ground. Can you give us some tangible examples? Because I think striving bleeds into hard work, which bleeds into hustle culture. Can you give us maybe tangible? Because maybe some women are thinking, well, I don't really know if I'm striving. How do I know? And am I not supposed to do hard work? Well, what does it look like to hustle? See, like they kind of blend. Can you kind of give us tangible of what it would look like maybe in each and walk us through that?
So let's address the hard work issue because I'm definitely not against hard work. Theologian Dallas Willard, he once put it this way, says, grace is not opposed to effort. Grace is opposed to earning. And so it's understanding that effort is okay as long as you realize what is ultimately in control and who is ultimately in control. And so a very easy way to let you know if you have fallen into striving habits is your prayer life. And I'm not just trying to go there, but truthfully, we cannot say that we are doing the Lord's work if we are not talking to him about it. And so if we are not talking to the Lord regularly, consistently, and our prayer life does not show our dependence, and not even just our dependence, but our desperation for him, then that reveals who we really think is responsible.
Yeah.
Because if we understand that the Bible is very clear that apart from him, we can do nothing. And so if we are truly going to live like we believe that that is true, then we have to consistently be going to him for guidance, for direction, for strength, for wisdom. If we are trying to do that on our own, then that's one of the things that let us know that we've slipped into striving.
No, that's good. Yeah, I think the Lord just recently keeps telling me like, hey, have you given me room to like do anything? Like, meaning, are you going to want the one that has the credit or do you want me to have the credit? And it was just eye-opening for me. Not that I, of course, don't talk to him or we don't have like a journal and all that stuff, but it was just, am I allowing him to do what he is calling me to do and what he can only do, right? It almost sounded like you said too, like effort doesn't equal earnings. And let's talk about that of social media world is you often talk about popularity over profit or, you know, popularity doesn't equal profit. And I think that the kingdom way is a lot different than the world's way, right? The world says, if you work really hard at a job, then you'll get maybe a 50 cents increase, right? But the kingdom way is not like work really hard and get more clients. Let's talk about kingdom business, one foot in, one foot out.
I mean, we are called to be in the world. We're just not called to be of it. And so we have to recognize that because we are part of a different world, we play by a different set of rules, but we were sent into the world. John 17 is Jesus's prayer before he was betrayed. And he prays for the disciples. And then after that, he prays for all believers who will come to know him. And he said, with the same authority that sent me to the world, I am sending them into the world. So understand that the same authority that sent Jesus to earth has sent us into the world to be a light for him. And so it's going to get messy. It's not necessarily going to look pretty. It's not going to be the A plus B equals C. There's not these easy equations. Each of us have a different path. And so we talk all the time about how at She Works His Way, about how success is obedience. And it is understanding that God has a plan for each of us. And just because you and I are on different paths, that doesn't mean that one of us is right and one of us is wrong. It just means that he needs his believers everywhere. So that means he needs believers at the top of their company and he needs believers at the bottom. Because if it's truly all about his glory, then his glory needs to be dispersed where other people are who do not know him yet. And so releasing ourselves from believing that we think that we are owed something, because the truth is, in Jesus alone, we were given more than we ever deserved. And that is something that cannot be taken away from us. And this is such a brief amount of time, your earthly life compared to your eternal life. Instead of so many times, I think that we look at eternity as the, you know, this is the conclusion almost of my earthly life. But really, if we're believers and we're thinking with an eternal perspective now, then our lives here on earth are an introduction to our eternal life. It's the different perspective there.
Well, one, let's go right into the business tracker too, because you posted today a reel about the business tracker, and you can talk a little bit about that, what it is, because it's not a planner. And you were talking about how, especially right now with social media, it's like nobody's really meeting in person still at this point. And the striving for likes, for follows. And I think, again, we're kind of talking about business, but this can be in relationships. You know, you're striving this person to like you and all this stuff. What does it look like to serve instead of strive in a world that says likes, follows, all of this is what you have to have, or, you know, you have to have this perfect marriage or perfect body. Can you talk about what you shared today on social media?
Social media is a constant source of frustration when I have conversations with women who work. I'm constantly on it. I'm constantly scrolling, but I'm tired of it. I'm annoyed by it. It drains me. And so social media is designed in a way that should consistently feel uncomfortable, because social media is designed A, to keep your phone in your hand at all times and to not be looking at what's actually happening in your real life. And social media is bent towards stroking your own ego and elevating your own importance. And so I always tell people, as long as you feel uncomfortable on social media, I think that that's a good sign. The moment that we start liking that way of thinking, that's actually a danger zone. But it doesn't mean that we have to succumb to using it that way. I said that that is the bend. And if we're being honest, that is usually the bend that is rewarded on social media, because social media is a business itself. And so it is designed to keep you on longer so that they can expose you to more advertising. So they will make more money. So then in turn, the advertisers will get more profits and then turn to spend more money in advertising. That is the business model of social media. And so if you contribute to social media's goals, then they reward you with organic reach. But if you actually have a job to do, you don't have time to follow all of social media's rules.
Yeah.
Now, I tell you that to say that's how social media is set up. But the truth is, we all know that God is bigger than a social media algorithm. And your social media activity is going to be as spiritual as you choose to make it. Mm-hmm. And so I have gotten myself in the habit of praying before I post, Lord, help this reach the woman who needs it. And asking him to open doors for me to have conversations with women who need that message. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you I have all of these posts that go viral. I'm not going to tell you that I get more likes than most people. I don't. My engagement by all of social media measurements is down on all fronts from previous years. But I am still having meaningful interactions and conversations with women. And I am not concerned about engagement per se. But I want to use that platform to do ministry. We have the ability to change our mindset, but it's probably going to be a daily reminder that we all need. And so there's a section of the daily tracker pages in the She Works His Way business tracker. And it just says on the top of it, it says serve one. And then there's some specific instructions of do for one what you wish that you could do for everyone. And how did I make one person feel valued and supported today? And then what actually happened today that I can share later? And so it's the understanding of, no, you may not be able to serve a million people today, but man, did you have one interaction that you're like, man, if I could do that for everybody, that would be amazing. You can't do it for everyone, but you can do it for one. And so there's accountability there. The next one is not about, again, the shallow, quick double tap, but did I have a meaningful conversation that allowed me to have ministry and not just engagement? Did I make somebody feel valued and supported? Did I make somebody else's day better? And then two, social media is an extension of your work, but it's not the extent of it. And so if you always want to have something to share, then do the work. And so if you do the work, then likely you will have something to share on social media later. But instead of thinking my work is to post something that is going to make people like me or to make people follow me, that is going to be exhausting if we try to do it. And so it just keeps my mind in the right perspective of this is what matters. This is why I'm here. It does not matter if it does not go viral. It does not matter if engagement is down in terms of how many people saw it or how many people liked it. What matters is I'm still able to do the work that God has called me to, and it is still impacting someone for their good and for the glory of God.
Mm-hmm. I think a strong conviction comes when you, when we talk about the one, it's like, oh, that sounds really great. But as soon as we leave the one, I feel like that's when it comes pride. You know, I have two pride, like one is beneath me, you know, like I should be serving more almost. And I think a lot of women, like, I mean, that flesh rises up in us, right? Because a lot of women, we feel that brokenness, we want to be seen, we want to be known, and we want to be heard. And I think we're trying to get that more and more from social media, and it's going to leave us feeling empty, like you said, every time. And something you said at Narrow 2020, you had said, do you ever pick up your phone when you're having fun? And I remember John and I, my husband, talking about that. I was like, it's so true. Because when you're having fun, you're not worried about if somebody likes me on Instagram. Yes. Does somebody follow me? You know, you come off a great weekend with family. You're like, oh, who cares? You know, like, who cares who unfollows me or whatever? I think this is a really great transition into kind of wrapping this up a little bit, because as she works his way, surrendered effort. Mm-hmm. Because we go from striving. So let's talk about surrendered effort. What does that even look like? I think we hear obedience to work or surrender. Words that we hear often, I think that we tend to, it comes white noise and it tends to lose its meaning. Oh, obedience. Oh, surrender. That's great. But do we really apply it? So can you share with us tangible steps? What does this look like? What is surrendered effort?
So starting at the beginning, let's just go really big picture and let's talk about like doing God's will and being part of God's will. Sometimes we tend to over-spiritualize this or put God's will as something that's only in the future. The biggest way to be a part of God's will is to, number one, understand that God's will isn't just where he'll take you someday. It's where he has you right now. He has purpose for where you are right now. And so am I pursuing his will, not just where I want to go next, but where I am right now? And then specific calls of a specific assignment come from the general call and the general assignment that has been given to all believers. And so that is to, as you go, make disciples. And if we will realize, as you go, as I am going to work, going to the grocery store, going to my kids' school, going where God has me, as I am doing that, is my ultimate goal to make disciples. And as I am pursuing that, then specific assignments can branch off from the general call. And so get involved in God's general call to all believers, recognizing that everywhere he has you is somewhere where you can influence people for his good, for his glory, and for the good of other people. And so that being number one. And then two, not just thinking to the future, but saying, I'm not looking to where I'm going next. I'm looking to where God has me right now. And I'm going to pursue that for all that I have. And then moving into surrendered effort is realizing it is ultimately dependent on God. We are desperate for him to move. And so I am going to listen, and listen meaning I'm going to be in his word, because God's word, the Bible, is not just a book. It is God's spoken, written word to us. And so listening to what he says, and then recognizing we're not called to just merely be hearers, but to be doers and to do what it says, trusting him completely for the results. So I'm going to listen, I'm going to do, and I'm going to trust him for the result. You know, I think about this as such a random example. You know how I feel about Moses, but I think about how many times God told him to go to Pharaoh and to say, let my people go. And that nine times Moses stopped the plague after Pharaoh whined. And it was only the 10th time, the 10th plague, that they actually were able to leave Egypt. And so nine times, essentially, Moses failed and looked like a fool for obeying. And he went back every single time and said, let my people go. Pharaoh said, no. God sent the plague. Pharaoh said, make it stop. And I promise I'll let them go. The plague stopped and Pharaoh changed his mind. We have to let go of the results portion. That's the biggest thing with surrendered effort is I'm going to obey. I am going to trust you for the rest. Mm-hmm. But like obedience isn't idle. Obedience is listening and doing what God says and then saying, and God, what happens? Mm-hmm. That is on you. And I trust you. Even if it looks like I'm a failure, I trust you. Mm-hmm.
Two things that came to my mind. I'm always taking notes, but when you're talking about Moses, I think a lot of us give up too soon. And the Lord keeps just reminding me, like, will you be in it for the long haul? Mm-hmm. You always talk about too, and I got this from you, is slow growth is sustainable growth. It's like, are you willing to grow slow and sustain versus grow fast and feel like you fall? Mm-hmm. And the second thing was, I think a lot of people think of ministry as the church. You know, I just need to leave my 9 to 5. And I know Summer talks about this a lot, but I need to leave my 9 to 5 so that I can do church. I can do ministry. And I think you really pointed that out beautifully, is that he calls all believers to the ministry of reconciliation, to go make disciples. This is not, okay, well, if you're in the church or you're doing some kind of, you know, 501c3, then you're finally in ministry. And I'm really glad that you spoke to that, because I think so many women really struggle with looking at their home life, you know, their children and their husband as a part of mission and being on mission. What can you say to the weary heart who feels like they have to do all the things and be all the things to all the people, who is really, she's striving for success, and to encourage her that she's already loved by God and she doesn't have to do those things? What would you say to her?
There's a quote that I ran across when I was reading last week. And so let me read this. This is from JT English. And it says, when the mission of God frames our work, no work is purposeless and no work is our primary purpose. When the mission of God frames our work, no work is purposeless and no work is our primary purpose. I talk all the time. This is probably, if I had one phrase that I think I say over and over and over again, you can probably guess it. Shorten your approval list.
Yeah.
So many times when we put too many things on our plate, when we think that I need to do this and I need to do that, our approval list has gotten way too big.
Yeah.
And the beauty of it is, in Jesus, we get to live approved. We live approved. We live in his approval. So don't allow yourself to get caught up in needing approval in areas that don't really matter, that you miss the approval that you could never have earned, that you have already been given. And live approved. There is such a difference in living approved versus living for approval. Mm-hmm. And that is such a gift that we have as believers, is that we no longer have to live for approval and we get to live approved.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
So focus on that every day. And when you find yourself stretched thin, ask yourself, am I living for approval or am I living approved? Preach the gospel to yourself and then get back to work.
Mm. Yeah. Hashtag drop the mic. That was good. No, I mean, when we live approved, it changes everything. It changes how we show up to take care of our bodies. It shows up in every single area of our life because you're not looking for approval. I mean, when we think about creating a post or having conversations, it's like, it changes our whole language, right? Will this person like what I have to say? And if not, should I delete it? Or, you know, what is that person thinking of me? We're so worried about what other people are thinking of us that we can't even serve them because we're thinking about what they're thinking of us, which really, what is that? It points us back to us.
And you're not thinking about the person that God has called you to serve.
Yeah.
You're thinking about the people that God hasn't called you to. When we start thinking about that, we are putting our focus on people that God hasn't called us to.
Michelle, where can more women learn about how to live a surrendered life, how to live in obedience? What do you have for us?
Number one, be in God's word every single day. I would love to tell you that I have all the answers, and I don't. I know the one that has the answers, though. But if you would like to walk alongside a community of women who are aiming to walk with God in his word daily, you can go to sheworkshisway.com. There's a big button in the top right-hand corner. It says join now. Click that. Join our community. It costs you the same as a couple of cups of coffee every single month. We are very serious as a ministry about our goal being to be your best business expense every single month. And we do not take that lightly. Mm-hmm. But we would love to get to know you. We would love to serve and sharpen you and just encourage you and equip you in what God has asked you to do.
Mm-hmm. I think I just want to be clear too. It's not just the working woman. It's not just online workers. It's not just brick and mortars. It's a lot of moms too, right? That the home life. Can you just talk a little bit about that as well? So that the people are clear on, wow, okay, I don't have a business. So then I probably can't join She Works His Way.
Work doesn't require a paycheck. I'm just going to throw that out there.
Yeah.
There's a lot of work that we are called to do, and we're called to do well, that we're never going to get compensated for. And so if you are a mom, you work and you work very, very hard. If you are in the corporate world, if you are in the service industry, you are part of a brick and mortar. The thing that I love about She Works His Way is that it's not just an industry that connects us. It's the fact that, again, whatever work God has called us to do, we aim to do it for his glory and the good of other people. And so part-time, full-time, secular, ministry, from home, outside of the home, it does not matter. If you work, you are a part of our community. We'd love to get to know you.
That's awesome. I'll make sure I have all the links to that below. So thank you again, Michelle, for just taking the time to share your wisdom. I love you so much, and I'm so grateful for you.
I love you right back, and I'm grateful for your ministry.
Have you ever felt like you weren't good enough, smart enough, pretty enough, thin enough, strong enough, worthy enough, or doing enough? If so, then my book, Know Your Worth, is for you. It's not uncommon to feel inadequate, whether it's issues surrounding your career, relationships, or finances. You will discover gems to apply to your own life as I take you through my journey of how I was able to overcome pain by realizing my worth wasn't tied into things or people, but God. In my book, Know Your Worth, I will show you how to stop settling for relationships that do nothing but cause you pain, how to refuse to settle for anything less than God's best for your life, and how to recognize that no matter what your past looks like, it doesn't have to be your future. Go to jessicahoddle.com/books to get a copy of Know Your Worth today.